The Around the NFL Podcast. We're born in the darkness and raised by it.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes. To my left, Mark Sessler. To my right, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
What's up? Hello. Greg is back.
Greg's back. Greg, who has been out of the
listeners
office.
Listeners didn't even know I was gone.
Yeah, Greg has been out of the office since Tuesday, or really Monday, summoned by the American justice system. So, Greg, now, right off the top of the show today, what we learned, if you will, to borrow a phrase from our writing portion of Around the NFL, what we learned about courts.
We learned a lot of money and time can be wasted in the interest of judicial fairness. I mean, me, 12 other people, spent 3 days listening to some doctor sue a woman for a dog bite, which it was totally ridiculous. He didn't get any money. Wasted. Imagine how much the court just cost to have that for the day. The plaintiff, the courts, the lawyers, and
you know,
all
I just
for
realized?
Nothing.
It's like
all
when
for nothing.
It's it just reminded me because I've colleagues and yeah, mostly colleagues. It's been this weird thing, Mark. I know you have jury duty coming up.
Yep.
Everyone always tells you about their court case, but it's very similar to like your buddy or your colleague telling you about his fantasy team.
Yeah, no one cares.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
I mean, did you feel, though, Greg, at some point you're on a jury, probably I would imagine behind the scenes being very vocal and using some of your supervising skills. Did you feel a surge of power? I mean, you held this person's fortunes in your hands.
I did want to be the foreman. Well, there's no time to really talk about it. I was going to volunteer to be the foreman.
I like that you wanted to be the foreman because you thought even though you didn't have any experience in this, you wanted to just be able to somehow move things along.
Right. Well, I thought it was it seemed like an open and shut case. You're not supposed to talk about it during the case. So I thought if I was the foreman, I could just speed things along and just reason with everyone. Hey, we don't want to be here. Let's just give this guy 0% of the money he wanted. But someone else suggested this lawyer that was in the room that he be the foreman, so he took over.
Week. Was there a love connection, Greg? Oh, wait, you're married.
No, and every woman there was over 45 and over my weight by a lot.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you asked.
Greg, you know, you've been through this.
Scouted for Wes.
You've gone through this. You know, when this happens to me next month and I get attached to a high-octane, you know, society-altering murder trial that keeps me embedded in a hotel in downtown
you
L.A.
Would love
for
it.
7 or 8 months. You can't complain. It's just part of the system.
I was thinking how much Sessler would have enjoyed it. I think in general, just putting
Sessler's got his fingers crossed that he's got the next O.J. trial.
I mean, there can't be any – you can't be bitter either, Dan. I'm just part of – I'm doing my role in society.
Civic duty.
Yeah.
It was a good
civic
learning
duty,
experience
bro.
For that. I did like all the jurors in the end, so that was a pleasant
rural
surprise.
Because
I generally don't like other people, but this was a great group of smart
individuals. You guys
going to
get together?
Well, I don't think that's the case. No? But.
So, yeah, welcome back, Greg. We're glad that you didn't get disposed for too long. Deposed? Disposed?
Neither, really.
I think we know what you mean.
Okay. All right. Wes is not here, as we know. Hi, Diane. He will be back. However, next week at some point, we promise, he'll be back sometime next week. So look forward to Wes. And we'll have to give him at least we hope he's back next week. We haven't even had any confirmation that Wes is, let's be frank about it, alive. He's in Tybee Island. We've called Huckapoo's, his local haunt, twice so far. No sign of him. We did get one text that said that he was garage drinking, but then you think about it, how do we know Wes sent that text? I've seen plenty of datelines where the person, the villain in the episode, was texting on behalf of the victim. We have no idea.
That's a really good point. I got a text at some point, you know, over the past couple of days saying, hey, miss you, pal. But now that I think about it, another conciliatory text from someone that's just taken his phone.
Which is just like, don't worry about me.
Right.
Hey, pal, miss you.
Right.
Kind of a superfluous text.
How do you know,
you.
Right, that text wasn't meant for Dan or someone else, too?
Well, it was sent to my phone.
Well, I know, but it could have been a mistake.
What if it was an SOS?
Maybe it was to another, you meant to send it to some woman in Tybee.
Greg not lined up for season 3 of True Detective
at this point. that trailer is very good. All right, so today is going to be a fun show. As we teased earlier in the week, Gold Standard, it's Gold Standard Fridays or Gold Standard Thursday this week behind the glass. Look at him with his pullover sweater, no soccer jersey today.
No, not today.
But that's because he's all business today. And you know why? Because this is going to be the Gold Standard Show, his directorial debut.
Too kind, gents. Thanks for having me.
I was queuing that up in case you had some type of...
No celebration music, like you said, all business.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a big show. Basically, what we're going to do, we're going to do some news. We're going to call Wes, make sure he's okay. Hopefully, we'll get in touch with him this time at Huckapoo's. And then what we're doing, we're just going to take the show, like a little baby, like a little infant, the Around the NFL baby, and give it to Zach. We don't even know what he's going to do. He gave us one exercise that we had to take part in that we are all prepared for. But other than that, it's a blank slate on our end. And Zach is running the show creatively.
Hey, fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
Excellent. All right. So before we get to all that fun, let's do some news, Mr. Gold Standard.
Let's do it.
All right, gentlemen. So there are where are we now? Is this the third tier of free agency, or is this still? Is it only first and second tier? How does this work exactly?
We're in the upper deck.
I think this is the third tier, the upper deck.
This is the upper deck. This is the cheap seats of free agency, and we start in Carolina, where Charles Tillman, the number 86 player on our top 101 free agents list, former longtime Bear, has signed with the Panthers. A veteran presence joins that team. Tillman, who was out of work for some time after his contract with the Bears ran out. Was it a cut or a contract ran out?
I believe he was a free agent.
Okay, so Peanut lands with the Panthers. So our thoughts, Greg Rosenthal, we'll start with you. Peanut Tillman, anything left in the tank this late in the game? Age 34.
He was decent when he played last year, but he was hurt. So a guy coming off two straight years where you're injured and you're that old and you play cornerback, there's not a long history of that working out too well.
I like these types of signings where a guy who has shown he can do it, number one, goes to a team that has a need at the position. He's old. He's battled a ton of injuries, but why not? It's not over, not costing you a lot of money. You didn't lose anything for it.
Carolina's got something going where they have a lot of no-names in the secondary, and they somehow cook up productivity by the end of the year. It happened 2 years ago, and it really happened by the end of last year that they were playing very well in the secondary. I wonder if this is the first time, and no one really is going to care about this fun fact, but back-to-back Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winners, now both on the Panthers.
Wow.
You think Thomas Davis and Tillman will just kind of be peacocking around, like saying, who's the better man?
Yeah, I think that's
probably a great
happening.
Stat, Greg, but I got another one. Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, zero touchdowns in 2014.
What?
How you like them apples? By the way, Nick Shook, who's one of our best editors downstairs, filled in on around the NFL and wrote our Tillman post, mentioned in the bottom graph that Tillman was a member of Dan Hanses' free agent leftover team. It's always sad to lose them. I named my team, by the way.
Now I know why we led the show with this.
I named my team. They're the L.A. Greybeards. And Tillman, I'm happy to see him go off. I'm happy. That's how I work. I know. I'm a happy
guy.
Got to
fill that spot, but yeah.
Speaking of the L.A. Greybeards, Stephen Ridley, one of my running backs, has signed a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Ridley coming off a knee injury in October, torn ACL and MCL. With the Patriots, wrecked his free agency value, so that explains why he was on the market this long, considering he's young and he had a 1,200-yard, 12-touchdown season with the Pats a couple years ago. So the Jets get him on discount, and the interesting thing from a Jets perspective is he's, on some levels, a similar type player to Chris Ivory, who's a physical between-the-tackles type runner, so makes you wonder. I'm a little confused, I'd say, about Chan Gailey and the coaching staff's view on the Jets' backfield. I thought C.J. Spiller would have been a good target for them. They had showed no interest in Spiller, even though Gailey had success with Spiller. Now they bring in a guy that's kind of Chris Ivory-like, so you're going to have two guys like that. You re-sign Bilal Powell, so he's a guy you would think is going to have some role. I'm not really sure what their move is right now.
I think Chris Ivory's going to potentially be gone.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, Ivory's been a good Jet. He's been a good Jet for 2 years now, so I'd be surprised if they dumped him.
It's a different coaching staff. I mean, there were whispers that the new coaching staff isn't sold on him, and they go get a guy just like him. I don't think, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Ridley has promise, but he's also the knee, and then he's had fumble issues. So it's like,
you know, though, if you look at...
It's a little interesting to me.
One thing that came out, you know, which is fair to bring up, is that he was very publicly benched for his fumbles in New England, but statistically... He was like 19th or something. He's not a major fumbler compared to other backs.
Dan, you're right that they are similar. They're not really assets on passing downs. I mean, I think their plan is they're just putting as many guys out there. When you don't have the guy, then you just get four good guys. That's been the Patriots' plan forever. I was really surprised. I was talking about it on the phone on my, you know, daily phone call with Mark as I was leaving the courthouse. I'm going to miss that, Mark. I felt like we...
Yeah, I mean, this was a tradition of 2 days.
You only called me once.
Well, you were the afternoon guy. I called you in the morning, yeah, on lunch break. I had a great lunch, though. A couple delicious Mexican and then the cha-cha chicken, a little Caribbean chicken place. Santa Monica Courthouse, not
bad. Let's be honest, a mini vacation is what this was.
It was not a bad spot to meditate a little bit, like while they were talking just about what you need to do at work, what you need to do in life, just kind of daydream. Anyways, Ridley. Why did the Patriots not want to bring him back? I don't get
it. That's a good question, too, and makes me worried as a Jets fan. They know what they're doing up there.
He is one of the more talented between the tackles runners. I thought in that 1,200-yard season, if there was a position first and second down back, he was one of the 10 best in the league. Maybe a very naturally powerful and explosive runner. I mean, he was a fun guy to watch.
Tells me New England absolutely does not want to pay a lot of money for running backs because – Vereen also, why not bring him back?
Well, Ridley would have been cheap too, though. I guess the plan maybe is they draft them just like they did with Vereen and Ridley. They drafted them both in the second round, got four pretty good years out of them, and drafted
not to bury the lead. Like, so the Los Angeles based Greybeards, what's the move that you make on your roster? How do you?
Well, I'll say this: I don't have a ton of concerns. I've lost Tillman.
Well, you can just keep
those
guys
and Ridley. But guess what? One of our listeners, we have such great listeners, Seth Pardue, at Seth Pardue, went ahead and made my team in Madden. We had a score of 81 team, 81 out of 100.
That's not bad.
So that's not a bad team. The Greybeards have come. They're coming to play. I just signed Pierre Thomas to replace Ridley.
There you go.
I got to go get another corner.
Well, it's kind of like how Matt Millen talks about Al Davis and the Raiders and everything. You know, Ridley, once you're a Greybeard, you're always a Greybeard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He might go on and wear another uniform, but
right.
He's always a Greybeard.
It's a commitment to aging. That's what we have. All right, moving on. My old friend Michael Bennett, you may recall a rumor that flew around, or a report that flew around, I guess about a month ago, right around the start of free agency, that Michael Bennett was not happy with his contract with the Seahawks, and he wanted to get traded to the Atlanta Falcons. But he came out on Thursday and told a radio station in the Seattle area, is that correct, Mark?
Yes.
That he doesn't know where that came from. The reporter that reported it was a Texas-based guy that had nothing to do with him, and he denied that. And then he also talked about Jimmy Graham, who you may also recall, Michael Bennett, who talks a lot, by the way, talks too much, runs his mouth, and he's got to slow down a little bit. He's going to get into some trouble. Said that Jimmy Graham was soft when Graham was a member of the Saints, but now Jimmy Graham's a member of the Seahawks. Mark, he didn't back down, did he?
No, he basically said he doesn't take back anything he said. He said, I'll be now that he's my teammate, I'll cooperate with him. I mean, he kind of danced around.
He said it doesn't
topic.
Change his opinion. Of
doesn't
it.
Change his opinion. He feels that he called him soft and one of the most overrated players in the NFL after their playoff game 2 seasons ago. And this was a good chance for him to say, you know what? I spoke out of turn. He's my guy now. He didn't say that at all.
He said Jimmy Graham will now have to block now that he's on the CX. By the way, I don't think Jimmy Graham will have to block. I mean, everyone's
a bad trade if that's why they got him.
That's not really why they brought him.
That's fair.
We know Michael Bennett's not running the front office, I guess, for the Seahawks. That's my takeaway.
Speaking of Michael Bennett, if you want to play a little game of connect the dots, Michael Bennett, who famously made negative, disparaging comments about my private parts after the Super Bowl loss by the Seahawks.
This is a true story. The guys are giggling in the back. They maybe didn't listen to our Super Bowl episode, but that is 100% true.
Yes, he did. After I asked him a question immediately after the loss, he questioned my manhood. Canceled his NFL Network visit this week. You think maybe he thought about the old Zeuser?
Well, it had to be
in
his
building.
Mind.
Maybe he's like, ooh, I'm not ready for a comeuppance just yet. Michael Bennett. In hot water with
like
the Zeus.
You've correctly connected the dots on
yes.
that.
Yes. All right. Finally, Reggie Bush, now a member of the San Francisco 49ers. There is a Australian rugby league star named Jared Hayne, who apparently is now connected to the Niners. They signed him, gave him a roster invite. Reggie Bush is excited. He believes there's no way Hayne doesn't make the roster. Bush said, I'm sure he'll make it. I don't think there's a doubt in anybody's mind he'll be on the roster, Bush told the Daily Telegraph of Sydney. Our Australian listeners probably are familiar with Hayne more than we are. He's a 6'2" running back with, according to Connor Orr, natural ability to catch the ball in traffic. He's a longstanding connection with Bush, a personal connection. We'll see what happens, though, when organized team activities. How about a little Jarrett Hayne action in the NFL?
Well, he was
Hayne bone.
This guy put his money where his mouth is, believing in himself. He was about to be the highest paid player in rugby league history, national rugby league history, and he turned that down to go to the 49ers. Of course, the highest paid is only like $90,000.
Well, I like the Hayne angle, but another player that talks too much, how about Reggie Bush?
Oh, wow. Come on.
What?
He was talking to an Australian newspaper.
Yeah.
He probably didn't figure would get picked up. You just want to say something nice about the local guy.
I have no problem with the Jarrett Hayne angle, but Reggie Bush, pipe down.
No,
you just joined the team. You don't know what Trent Baalke's going to do 3 months from now. How about
I feel like people
up?
Talk about Reggie Bush a lot and pump him up. Reggie isn't that, you know. He held on to his Heisman longer.
I could do without.
Now, there's something Mark's got a point here. He is a guy that produces a lot of these off-season stories. Like whatever new team he's at. Oh, yeah, Ryan Tannehill. He's the next Dan Marino. Like he'll always just say, you know, say something
that's
real.
Fair.
He has never seen this guy play football. There's no chance. I mean, they haven't practiced together. Right. How does he know? It is amazing, though. He turned down $6.75 million in the rugby league.
I thought you just said $90,000.
It was a joke. That was an insult.
I'd have to
the
assume, though, if he's like the Michael Jordan of that organization, that he can go back. If this doesn't work, he can go back and make that money again.
That's a good point.
All right.
In this article, he's called an enigmatic kangaroo. This is a Daily Telegraph article. I think that's their way of just saying he's from Australia.
That's how the journals operate down there.
Classic Daily Telegraph. All right, that's what's happening. Before we get to Gold Standard's portion of the program, let's quickly call up Huckapoo's one last chance. And I would think, gentlemen, we should absolutely, and Gold Standard, get the authorities online too, because if he's not at Huckapoo's now, he's almost certainly been kidnapped or worse.
Yeah, I mean, we're concerned, and we're trying to mask that for our listeners to some degree. But behind the scenes, especially the boss, his supervisor, counting on him for good work.
Greg, I would put him at, you know, low-level consternation, us a little higher.
All right.
Well, you guys really like him.
Well, I don't know what that means, but.
All right, let's give him a call. Dear God, please pick up. Hi, can I speak to Chris Wessling? Is he at your establishment?
We built a shower for patrons. He may be crying in it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Let me check. I'm going to look around.
Okay, but that means he's alive.
They've seen him. They've spotted him.
Hey, I found him. Hold on.
All right, great. Love Huckapoos. Corpses don't cry.
Hello?
There he is.
There he is, Christopher Wessling. It is almost 6 p.m. on Tybee Island. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing wonderfully. How are you guys?
Did I just hear someone yell in the background, they found him? Like, they knew we were looking for you?
Like Waldo all week.
I had Gold Standard put the authorities online, too, in case you didn't pick up this time. We were nervous.
Did not alert the authorities to my presence.
What's going on? How's your vacation been?
I've been playing hide and seek from them all week.
How's the trip been so far, buddy?
Oh, it's lofty expectations have been met and exceeded.
Wow.
Chris, we want to know, earlier in the week you mentioned to us that you were garage drinking. I just want to know, that sounds fun to me. What's that mean?
So, the people I'm staying with, they have a bar in the garage, and it turned into some fun shenanigans on, I don't know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. on Friday, the thing was just stop by people's houses, and you expect to have, you know, fun. So, one of my favorite stories since I've been here is that I show up for the garage drinking on the first day, and the little golf cart cab that comes around the island and picks up everyone just drops off two cases of beer.
And
gives a message, this is an exchange for the golf clubs that you lent me the other day. That's like a regular payment. Just have the golf cart taxi drop off cases of beer.
It's like a very friendly barter system.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, right?
This basically sounds like heaven on earth for Chris Wessling and maybe many of our listeners. Like a utopia that they couldn't imagine truly exists.
Yeah, I'm not coming back.
Wow.
By the way.
That was our next question.
Before we let you go, Wes, and it's great to hear your voice, and we look forward to seeing you. You missed the game that we played last week that you really you'll enjoy. We'll bring it back.
I wouldn't say I missed it.
What does that mean? You didn't like it?
I heard it, and Mark, you never take Ryan Tannehill over Drew Brees no matter the situation.
That's his problem.
That's the takeaway.
Okay.
Anyway, the game
is. You don't take average over superior ever.
The game is called Qualas tu Fantasia, and I'll throw one out to you before you go. All right.
All right.
If you could pick one person to ghostwrite a biography about your life, who would it be? Greg Rosenthal or Mark Sessler?
David Simon from The Wire.
No. I don't think you heard the question because Huckapoos has the first phone ever, apparently. You have to choose either Greg Rosenthal or Mark Sessler.
Mark.
Yeah, it's got to be Mark. To write
a
biopic.
Greg, but Mark will be a lot more flowery.
I was wondering if you were worried about your job security, but you went with the truthful answer, and I respect that.
Well, I was pointing at Mark the whole time. This seems like a...
I love that. Made the question... If you should know, Wes, that the question made Greg very uncomfortable in the studio.
Mark would be more flowery, plus pin me to several murders in different counties.
That's true.
Accurately.
With Mark, there'd be a sense of intrigue and mystery and... nautical adventure.
I don't disagree. Greg, you could provide that too.
All right, Wes, we need to get to the back to the show because Gold Standard's taking over the direction for the rest of the program. But it's great to hear your voice, and please come home.
I was just kidding. I'm coming home. I love California now, and I love you guys.
Aww.
And Gold Standard's the best. Well, I mean, TD is pretty awesome.
Aww.
Wow, look at Wes.
Good to hear from you all. I am alive and well. Contrary to popular conventional theory, and I will see you all in a few days.
All right, love
all
you,
right,
Wes.
Love you, Wes.
Farewell.
Right,
later, man.
So
the NFL doesn't drug test, right?
No, we now found out it takes a week of prolonged drinking for Wes to give TD a compliment. That's what
he was in
that's
a state of euphoria.
Great to hear Wes, though. That is great to hear Wes, and miss the big lug. All right. Now, and I think all of us, our spirits are high now because we know that Chris is safe. It's time to turn the show over to Gold Standard. And none of us know where this is going, but we're just going to hand it over. Zach Goldman, the Gold Standard, no relation to Ron Goldman. This is now your show.
I bet Mark wishes I did, though.
We don't have to pay attention anymore, right?
You'll I don't know.
Do
who knows?
All the
just enjoy the jock jams. Okay. This is how we're starting off.
All right. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Stupid. This is what happens when you put a millennial in charge.
I just let out a very loud giggle because Greg Rosenthal's dance moves are out of control. All right. So, gentlemen.
Wow.
Thank you so much for giving me the keys. I'm so sorry for what's about to happen. but no, it should be fun. We're going to take a little journey through NFL history and life, getting to know football and getting to know each other. Points will be kept. There will be a winner, but there will be no losers here.
So we're playing a game?
There'll be two losers. Okay.
We're playing a little bit of a game.
I'm nervous. I have butterflies and I'm
really?
Nervous.
Really? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I feel confident.
All right, so... let's start off with a little game called Guess This Career. Okay? I'm going to read off a list of facts about a player, and you have to guess the player. You can wager a guess at the end of any fact, but if you guess incorrectly, you can't guess anymore. So the points start at 5. There are 5 facts. If you guess after the first fact, you get 5 points. After the last fact, you get 1. Does that make sense?
You only get 1 guess.
You only get 1 guess.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
I'm a quarterback who played for 5 NFL teams from 1992 to 2008. And just say ding. This goes for every question. If you want to answer, you have to say ding.
2008?
Yeah.
Well, are you going to give us more?
Yeah. So no guesses?
Yeah, no guesses on that.
Okay.
No
guess.
Ding.
Oh, okay. Sessler.
Jeff George.
Incorrect. And I'm sorry to say that you are now eliminated. From this part of the game.
I was typing on this.
Well, you can't look at your phone.
Yeah. I'm typing on it. No pen.
Dan and Greg still in the game. I went to Florida State.
Oh. Wow.
Oh.
That should be easy.
Oh. Ding.
What's up?
1992?
Mm-hmm.
I withdraw my ding. Don't have an answer.
Okay. Greg, no ding?
I can't believe I don't know.
All right. Here we go.
Charlie Ward?
Nope.
You're out.
You're out.
That was stupid.
So, Dan, here we go. Ready? You can take – this is for 3 points, I guess, technically.
Yep.
I won a Super Bowl starting under center
and throwing for
215 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception.
That was stupid. This was going to be my guess. Wait, last one.
That last part of the clue does not help at all. He won a Super Bowl.
This quarterback won a Super Bowl
92 to 2008. And went to Florida State.
And he went to Florida State.
I can't believe I didn't. That's what I thought it was last time. And then suddenly I just blurted it out.
Wait, I'm thinking.
This is now embarrassing for Dan.
Oh, this is killing me.
All right,
the pressure is on.
I'm moving on. Okay. I was in a quarterback battle with Randall Cunningham the year our team went 15-1 but did not win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm sorry for ringing in early, everyone, so that you had to keep listening to it.
All right, so it was the 98.
That was harder than the third.
You're definitely going to get it on the last.
The backup of the 98 Vikings is what we're talking about.
The first answer.
My last name spelled backwards is Nasenhaj.
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 Oh, that was embarrassing. Sorry.
I don't even know. I still don't know. Nasenhaj?
Just write
it down.
Spelled backwards. Nasenhaj. Just like sound.
Nas.
Nas.
Yeah.
N.
N.
Haj.
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 Hodge.
Oge.
Okay, I feel like we should all – we're all losers.
Okay,
here.
No, all right, the answer was Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, Brad Johnson.
Yep.
Wait, he started in 92?
Yeah.
Well, he was on the Vikings for a while.
Yeah. That's all right. Okay, that was the one.
I knew that.
Good
one.
Here we go.
That was bad.
Wes is tackling somewhere. Can't believe I just blurted it out.
By the way, somebody's got to quiet Greg when we're playing the game
because
I'm trying to think.
By the way, empty air for 45 seconds isn't great.
Charlie
Ward.
Got
to have some talk. I saw Mark, for some reason, do a jump shot.
I effectively removed Craig from the competition.
That was good.
All right. I was picked in the 7th round of the 1997 NFL draft. That doesn't help, so we're going to move on.
Yeah.
My brother also played in the NFL, and we play the same position.
Ding.
Yep.
Shannon Sharp.
Incorrect, but a good effort. I am most well known for my time with the Eagles, 9 years in total.
Hold on.
Okay.
7th round.
Greg's trying to think. Ba 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 ba. Football.
See, isn't
different,
that better?
Different people. So many different years.
All right. Next one. Here we go. My name sounds like a fish, but it's spelled differently. My first name.
My first name?
Sounds like a fish, but is spelled differently.
Nasenhaj. That was too hard.
I only have 14 career touchdowns to my name. In an NFL career, that's a decade in length.
Hmm.
So, to recap, 7th round of the 1997 NFL draft. He has a brother in the NFL. They both play the same position. He's thrown 14 career touchdowns.
Oh. He's thrown
14.
Thrown 14.
Didn't know that. Tim Hasselbeck?
No. First name sounds like a fish.
Of course, what am I even saying? He didn't play at all for the Eagles. This is terrible.
This game's hard.
I'm cutting this one out.
You know,
Coy Detmer.
Boom.
All right. All right.
That was good, though. Okay, so 1 point for Mark.
Yeah.
And we're moving on. That was just sort of the warm-up game.
Yeah.
Now we're on to the real
game. That was good. It was our fault for not getting Brad Johnson.
It got the brain moving.
It's all right. Okay, here we go. Ready, boys? It's 1945, and the war has finally come to an end. Football, a joyous and lighthearted kind of battle, unlike the one that's just been waged overseas, has resumed, capturing the attention of American big cities once more. Bob Waterfield is the name on everyone's lips, having made the NFL championship in his rookie season.
What?
For 1 point, which team, city, and nickname does he play for?
Bob Waterfield.
Next hint.
Yeah, I think we can safely move on.
Okay. So, he plays for... the Rams. What city are they in?
They are the Cleveland Rams.
Ding, ding, ding. Mark Sessler.
Very nice.
Well done.
Nice.
That's the answer. Right. Cleveland Rams. So.
Wait, you gave Mark a Cleveland question?
Come on. It was an everyone question.
Nasenhaj. You Nasenhaj'd me.
All right. Here we go. We're moving on in the time machine. This is called the time machine, by the way.
Ooh.
Ready?
Yep.
The year is 1960. You got an Etch-A-Sketch yesterday. Lucky you. You also got a surprise ticket to the biggest show in town, the NFL Championship game. For 1 point, who won the 1960 NFL Championship game? There's no penalty for guessing.
Oh.
Throw out some guesses. You got a ding, though.
Giants. Ding.
Not the Giants.
Ding, the Cleveland Browns.
Not the Cleveland Browns.
1960.
Can we guess again or no?
Sure.
Ding, Philadelphia Eagles.
Boom. Mark
there
Hessler.
He is.
All right. Yeah, guess as many times as you want, guys.
Oh, okay. That's
sorry.
Nazanag.
All right, ready? Here we go. Fast forward.
I told you not to make these too hard, man.
I know, they were so hard.
They're not too hard.
No, they're not too bad.
All right, it's 1983. Oh, I love this. 1983, the year that the world is given the A-Team, the Stairmaster.
Culture Club.
Yep, you got that one right. Macklemore was also born as a baby this year. Well, everyone's born as a baby. Who won the Super Bowl in this NFL season? That's Super Bowl 18.
Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders.
That was Dan.
Yep.
Dan gets the points. Right. Dan gets
points. Give me the points.
Successful lobbying. Who did they beat in that Super Bowl?
The Raiders?
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, I get the follow. It's my follow.
I did not explain the rules at all deliberately.
That's okay.
I
like that.
Yeah, it's nice.
I believe that the Raiders defeated. We just watched this game, too.
You can steal in the event that Dan misses.
Okay.
Eagles.
Washington Redskins.
Boom. Mark Sessler,
I was
cleaning up the place. Greg, get on your horse.
Hey, the Redskins.
We're now going to 1997. I have a Tamagotchi. You have a Tamagotchi. We all have Tamagotchis.
We never had that.
No? Okay.
You did, but.
Now to football. Who wins the Super Bowl in this 1997 season?
That's Packers.
We got a ding.
Ding, Packers.
Incorrect.
The 97
Denver
season.
Broncos.
So yeah, Mark Sessler. So 1997 season. That's technically that.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And Mark Sessler for the 1 point follow up. Who won Super Bowl MVP?
John Elway.
Incorrect.
Oh, everyone, Terrell Davis.
TD.
Yep.
Okay. Now we're moving on. It's 2007. I have a Facebook. All my friends like my pictures, and we leave hilarious Andy Milonakis videos everywhere.
Sure, was it MySpace?
Yeah, it's probably MySpace.
Yeah. All
right, 2007. Who won the rushing title this year? Got a ding.
Ding.
Yep.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Correct.
Wow, Sessler on fire right now.
Sessler really on fire.
Clean it up.
Give it to him.
Yeah. Okay. So the scores right now in this very nebulous, poorly explained game: Mark Sessler with 6, Dan with 2, Greg sitting on a goose egg.
Oh yeah.
Not a fan of the game.
I'm
next,
a fan.
Next category.
Johnson. Don't know any. I'm not gonna. I don't know years who won.
Yeah,
no,
I got
it's
you.
Not gonna,
this
not
you'll gonna, get the you'll get these facts about the Tennessee Titans. Our next.
All right. How does this work? Is this ding?
So
too?
This is purely dinging.
Okay.
First question. In which city did the Tennessee Titans, then the Tennessee Oilers, play their first home game after moving from Houston?
Ding.
Memphis.
Memphis.
This was that was a Greg ding.
Especially since I just told you guys about the whole Memphis move.
Boom.
Just last week we were talking about it downstairs.
I watched it with my own eyes.
All right. After the ding, I'm going to call on whoever's won. Okay.
Smart.
Number two. See, we're figuring it out bit by bit. Who is the all-time receiving yards leader of the Tennessee Titans?
Ding.
Ding.
Yep.
Derek Mason.
Boom. Correct. Love
I thought you were going to me.
No, sorry.
I dinked first, brah.
Nazanah. What animal is the Tennessee Titans mascot? Also, the state mascot of Tennessee.
Mm.
Or state animal.
That's a good one.
Great one.
No idea. Ding.
So many animals.
Yep. Greg.
Eagle.
Nope. That would be
That'd
weird.
That would be weird. A ding.
Yep.
Grizzly bear.
Nope.
So many animals.
Oh my gosh, this is rough. Ding. Some sort of wild bird.
No, but it's a squirrel. If you can believe
that's
that.
Ridiculous.
Now right.
That's
a toughie. That's such a Titans thing.
That's a toughie.
To celebrate the squirrel.
Oh yeah. They're a little bit like the squirrels of the NFL. It's true. all right. Who is the general manager of the
Ding. Ding. Rustin Webster.
Nice. Next up. Guys, this is riveting podcast.
I'm enjoying it. Don't worry about
it's fun.
In 2007, Rob Bironas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Set a single game NFL record for most field goals in a game.
Ding.
Mm-hmm.
Seven?
Mm-hmm. Ding.
Yes.
Six.
No.
Ding.
Eight. Correct. Mark Sessler. Table scraps. All right.
He is now dead.
Oh.
Well, he
That's
is.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Passed I would never
makes,
have picked that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I thought you were joking.
Guys. Okay. Moving on. Producer facts. Ready?
Yeah. These producer are, facts?
Producer facts.
Okay.
This is about me and TD.
Okay.
First TD. TD's favorite fictional father or father figure in a work of art is?
In a work of art?
Yeah, a movie.
Okay.
Or anything like that.
Ding.
Is it A?
Oh, okay.
I'm giving you options. Is it A, Don Corleone? B, Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince?
I was going to say that without any options.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
C, Mufasa.
Ding. Oh, there's a D?
Well, there's a D, yeah.
Well, we get to hear. How can we ding if
yeah,
it's a multiple choice answer?
I know.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, no, you first answer.
Well, but don't we all get to answer if it's multiple
yeah,
choice?
Yeah, you just got to ding first. You got to be.
Well, that's ridiculous.
All right.
Because that just means whoever can say ding after you finish your D.
That's
quest.
Part of the
game. Well, you got to get it right.
That's all right, so ding. Right. Ding.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I dinged first.
That's right, true.
Dan did.
Yeah, Dan
first.
Did.
Uncle
okay.
Phil.
It's wrong.
Oh,
ding.
I know
see.
It is.
Mufasa.
Yeah,
that's
you got
I
it.
I thought it was.
Greg, killing it. One
we
for
won't
Greg.
We'll never know what D was.
No.
Oh, you can ding to kill out the rest of the choices?
Apparently so. I didn't think of these in advance. Come on. Here we okay. go. You can now ding, and you can ding to
whatever you think you have the right answer.
Yeah. Here we go.
Wait. So his TD's father figure is a cartoon.
I didn't ask any questions.
Well, it was okay. more of a play.
Yeah,
it makes some sense
right,
to me.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
All right. Which of these is my favorite bread for high octane sandwiches? Is it A, rye bread? B, wheat bread? C, pumpernickel? Or D, a toasty bread?
Ding. Wheat.
Incorrect. C. Ding and C.
No.
Wait, I never heard the fourth one. What was it?
A toasty baguette.
And the other choice was what?
Rye.
Rye or a toasty baguette?
Yeah.
And what? How did you frame it? That was the phrasing?
High octane
Which of these
sandwich.
Is my favorite bread for high octane sandwiches?
I feel like a baguette's a little too fancy for the gold standard. I'm going to go with rye.
And you'd be wrong. I am a baguette man all the way.
Wow.
Wow.
I like how
you know.
Tried to throw us off with the cultural stereotypes right off the top
yeah.
with rye.
I know.
A baguette.
You bit.
Oh, man.
All right, here we go. So we just talked about getting to know me and TD. Now we're going to get to know each other. We're playing a little game of two truths and a lie. So you're going to read three facts. Two of them
By
are
the way,
true.
Do the stakes ever rise where the point it's, value gets higher?
Yeah.
Or? Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. That
yeah.
Brad Johnson thing cost me 4 points.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyways, read off three facts. Two of them will be truths. One will be a lie. Your fellow heroes need to choose which one's the lie. Both people will be allowed to pick. There's no dinging.
Okay.
All right, so let's start with...
I think we should write it down so that we're not influenced.
Okay.
And then reveal.
That's
okay.
That's good. See,
it's good. I don't have a pen.
Working the kinks
fun.
Out. I like it. Greg, you go first.
Okay. My three things. Two truths and a lie.
Got to pick out the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right.
I'm going to read Greg's face as he says it.
I once delivered strawberries up and down the East Coast. That's number one. Number two... I was working with Chuck Woolery at a mall on the day the U.S. toppled Saddam Hussein's statue in Iraq.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein. Number three, I once delivered a hot tea to Penelope Cruz. You choose one of those three. Do you want me to repeat them?
No.
Nope.
All right. Let's flip them over.
Shall we?
Dan chooses.
Cruz is the lie.
Dan is right.
I didn't write
oh
it down.
My.
Oh.
I don't have a
Wait,
pen.
Wait, you're supposed to write
Sabotaging
it down.
What? My game.
Ask for a pen.
What have you gotten it right?
Huh?
Well, he's disqualified.
You can be honest. Well, but let's be honest. What have you gotten it? No.
No comment. I won't be believed no matter
no,
what
I know,
say.
I know, but I can see by the look on your face. I'm sorry I blew it. I blew it.
1 point.
Poorly organized. I don't think that's Dan's catching up because of that nonsense.
I got it right.
You got it right.
What
you
did
it
I
right.
do wrong?
You picked it
I
out.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Greg.
All right.
Greg just sabotaged your point.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
No, no comment.
Well, you obviously would be fighting for it if you had it. I could
All
tell
right.
when you looked.
All right.
All right. Dan, you're up.
Okay,
Let's
here we go.
Wait to reveal the answer.
Here you go.
Yeah.
There's my pen. Here we go. Two truths and a lie. I was once defeated by more than 15 points in a ping pong match against a prominent star of a daytime soap opera. Number two, I spent part of my 21st birthday in an ER after a mishap that followed a particularly reckless college drinking game. Three, I rigged a class vote in my senior year of high school, the result being our prom song was Eternal Flame by the Bangles, not All My Life by Casey and JoJo.
And while you're thinking about it, just enjoy the Bangles.
Give me your
hand. We ready?
We're ready.
All right.
Or maybe you reveal to us what the right.
Hold on, hold on.
I will reveal it, and then you guys turn the card over. You want to do it that way?
That's good. Yeah. That's good. C's pro. All
right. The falsehood is the 21st birthday adventure.
Bang. Got it.
Wow. They both got it right.
Wow. All right.
Both got it right.
Mark and Greg, well done.
The other two were too Danish.
By the way, I did pass Penelope Cruz in the hall as an NBC page.
I don't want to hear another word about it.
I thought that might have thrown
you off
the path. I
don't want to hear another word about that anecdote.
Does anybody want to know, by the way, how I rigged the vote? Are you any interest in that, learning
Definitely.
The secrets?
Sure.
Maybe our audience? Let me have the music again.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Just got to get a hold of the paperwork of the voting.
Oh.
And anyone in the class, the class had 156 people. Let's say about 80 people voted, and Casey JoJo was way in the head over the five options. Anyone that did not vote, I just checked the box for Eternal Flame, and that carried the vote.
Nice.
Devious. Highly unethical.
Highly unethical, but a worthy project.
And a good song. Let's look back. Casey
well, for the greater good, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, mine cool. are a little longer. I didn't realize this was meant to be like a hot button. I don't know what the deal is here. Well, number one.
By the way, no one's surprised that yours are longer.
Mine was a little,
we're looking
one of mine
to
was long. It was at the mall with Chuck Woolery when they were toppling the statue or whatever.
All right. Well, here we go. Number one. I spent the spring of 1994 living in a youth hostel in the red light district of Sydney, Australia. My roommates were an angry German soldier on leave who railed against America and ate only McDonald's. His name was Hans. Also, two 19-year-old girls from Auckland, potentially runaways, named Greta and Violet. The girls were hooked on mystery novels. The soldier was prone to angry rages. The scene crumbled. One day before dawn, I packed up my belongings and vanished to the other hostel 2 miles away. My new room overlooked an alleyway drug den. I would watch 15 to 20 people shoot up per day. This was during a time when I was trying to write a novel bridging the gap between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the
Is
Jedi.
Is this all three or the first one?
That's the first one.
Oh. Okay.
Number two. In between semesters at American University, I lived in Towson, Maryland during the summer of 1995. I was dating a girl named Ellie-Ann. Because she loved the Baltimore Orioles, we saw a string of games leading up to Cal Ripken's consecutive games record. Ellie-Ann was very into tarot cards. She loved driving around at night. We broke up in August when she became increasingly interested in becoming a Wicca. Number three. I was once seized by the cops for mail fraud after friends and I used the stamp machine at St. Mary's Church to send out 200 letters, 199 of them to women and one to a gentleman, inviting them all to an, in quotes, special party at a local restaurant called the Rusty Nail. We were finished when an undercover plainclothes cop caught us videotaping the event from the bushes across the street. The owner of the restaurant was steaming mad, citing concerns over terrorism, but the Rusty Nail broke its own record for revenue that day.
Okay.
I will wait until Greg is also ready.
Look, you can't complain at all. You didn't have the right answer.
I can't complain about anything I want to complain.
I saved you the embarrassment of guessing wrong.
All right.
I had it right. All right. The one that is a lie is number two.
I got it.
I had the hostel as the lie.
No, that was deadly accurate.
The reason I thought that number two was the lie... Actually, I'm all mixed up. The reason why I thought number two was you trying to throw off the scent was the baseball angle. And I thought, oh, he's going to think. He did a good job at the game, basically. He got me crossed up.
I did go to plenty of Orioles games, but not with a girl who wanted to be a Wicca.
Yeah, that's the thing. Have something there that's a little true.
Learned a lot today. Final Jeopardy.
Oh, what's the score right now?
So that's a good point. So here's the deal.
Oh yeah, how many points we get for that one?
So no, you got a point each.
That's
so,
it.
That yeah. seems like we should get more.
Well, no. So here's what's happening. I'm flipping
you,
the script right now. Mark's got 9 points. Dan and Greg have 4. Ooh. Dan and Greg are now a team.
Wait, how come that game that was later in the show and
because we don't play by
each
the rules,
other, was just was that was the same as any stupid
hey, this
Titans
is his,
question?
He's directing this effort.
Here's the thing: now Dan and Greg are on Team Dan and Greg.
I don't like that. No? I don't like the sound of that.
But
wow,
your points are together now. So now,
yeah,
you have
but
eight
I want the solo glory, not team glory.
Well, you mathematically have been eliminated.
You're eliminated.
Is that how the points work?
Yeah, so I've essentially won.
This is a game of strategy. Yes. You can either swallow your pride and join forces.
We should
as
join
a team.
Forces.
Okay.
Okay.
If that's the only way to take down.
That's how you have to do it. So now you're Team Dan and Greg. You have 8 points.
But why couldn't it be something where he had to wager points where he could lose points potentially?
He does,
well, if I had thought this out better, I would have.
Bottom line, if we I clean house, and now this is your only chance to creep
exactly.
back in.
Okay. Yeah.
Take so, it.
Here we go. Team Dan and Greg with 8 points, Mark with 9. You're submitting one answer to Final Jeopardy. Mark is submitting one. The category is Golden Tate.
All right.
Please submit your bids now. You don't get to know the question before.
I just nod my head as Greg
wow.
picks a figure, and I agree. We're working together here.
All right. Mark, you ready?
Mark nervous, yeah. I could tell.
The question is, and you have choices here, okay, so it's not quite
Mark's
Jeopardy.
Probably going to bet 0 points.
I'm giving
just
you
hope we get wrong.
It would be very Mark. I'm giving you 4 options, okay? Golden Tate recently adopted a foster dog. Her name is Rosie. What breed of dog is she? Is she A, a bulldog?
This should have something to do with football.
No, this is a. It does. It's Golden Tate.
All right.
All right. A, a bulldog. B, a golden retriever. C, a pit bull. Or D, a Doberman.
It's not like it even has to do with like his college team or anything either. It's not a fighting Irish.
So what are the 4 choices, Greg? Can you write them down just so we have?
Let's just pick a random
bulldog.
Letter.
Bulldog.
Golden retriever.
Golden retriever.
Pit bull.
Wait, Greg. Can you write this? I want to be able to look at it.
Okay. Bulldog, golden retriever.
Yep.
Pit bull.
Yep.
Or Doberman.
Pit bull, Doberman. All right. I don't think so. See, I think that's. I disagree.
All right, you pick. I don't care.
A lot of infighting.
We're just guessing.
Now there's too much pressure on me because.
A lot of infighting. Dan is now changing Greg's answer in favor of his own.
That's good.
All right. All right. Ready?
Yeah, I disagree, but
okay.
Greg,
the answer is bulldog. Please reveal what you've written.
That's what I thought.
Well, why didn't you pick it? I just
because
said you
picked
pick?
It immediately, and we
no,
didn't talk
I didn't
about
care.
It first.
I said pick your thing.
And you put me in a bad spot because if I would have switched and been wrong, then you would have held it over me.
This was bad.
I could have cared less. We were just picking
golden
a random
retriever.
Letter.
Golden retriever. What did you pick?
I had golden retriever.
All right,
but I had zero.
Okay, wager zero. And you guys bet the farm?
Of course.
Yeah, we bet
yeah,
the farm.
Okay, got it. Well, hey, Mark, congratulations.
No problem. This was a proud day.
Mark, did it.
Good win. Good job. And good job, Gold Standard. A lot
right,
of moving
it really,
pieces.
It really was not, but thank you, guys.
A lot of moving pieces.
Enjoyed it.
We have, you know, we'll do it again, perhaps.
You need smarter contestants.
No, I need better.
Well, you need at least 2 smarter contestants.
Nah, TD and I'll... We'll devise something.
No, you think you need to replace the 3 of us.
Yeah.
Don't throw me in your swamp.
I wouldn't say you lit it up, Mark. Let's relax a little bit here.
I think I fired off one answer after the next. There was a period there where I was like a 2007 Tom Brady answering questions.
All right. We got to go. That's it. Congratulations to Mark and Gold Standard on a great session. What is the 7 name or anything? Is it just the
gold standard?
I don't think it deserved a name.
We will be back on Monday with another show. I don't know. Will Chris be back? No.
No.
But he will be back next week sometime, so make sure you tune in. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansa signing off for the Quiet Storm, the Boss, and the Gold Standard behind the glass. Until Monday.